This is the Moonifest Destiny Podcast, number 24. Moonifest Destiny is a novel I wrote back in 1991. The subtitle is The Rough and Ready Balloon Invasion of the Lunar Peninsula of Texas. If this is the first time you're hearing this podcast, please go back and start with number 1. I will now read chapter 23. The Automaton's Odd Oratory. Down in the dingy doom of the bombproof, the doom which promptly returned once the Prince President, Franklin Stove, interrupted our Yankee doodles, etc., our hooray for Jackson's, etc., first by claiming, over Cap Walker's sputtering, that the prime cause of the Texas Revolution 10 years ago was not in courting that sweet goddess Liberty, but by shameful flirtation and lust of Miss Liberty's peculiar half-sister, that gorgeous, antique hussy, Miss Slavery. And second, when my own dear Sarah indignantly accused the moral surgeon of an uncharitable and unchristian highfalutin Yankee dearth of cotton baler hospitality toward our guest, the brave Texas patriot, and glorious, and handsome, she added, Ranger. When she said all that, the metal man agreed, apologized to Sam Walker with a bow of obeisance, and expressed his condolences for the dozen Rangers Sam had recently led into immortal glory, and perhaps too brave, too patriotic, and too irregular raid of a cross mare rancho, leaving their corpses to be pecked by lunar abolitionist crows, irregulars being the polite term for state vigilantes, sanctioned not by President Polk, not even by General Taylor. Tick, to make an illegal raid upon foreign soil, tick, tick, to kill and to be killed on soil that Texas does not even claim, tick. You wanted to impress Taylor enough to legalize your Rangers, tick, into his army. But you only humiliated yourself, tick, tick. Is that not the only reason you risked your life beyond all reason, to carry a message from Taylor through the siege lines to this fort? Tick. These two comments had the effect of snuffing the candle of our fireworks and hooping and hollering with two spoonfuls of dirt and doom. I expected Captain Walker to throttle the metal man for these lies. But no, he just stood there, growling and groaning quietly to himself like a wounded animal. Agitated, but humbled, flicking his pistol fingers, looking at the ground with an angry pain and a dusty weariness on his face. Sarah was impressed. What do you know? The Yankee professor pricked a hole in Sam Walker's balloon. Then, in the seesaw silence of nearly 400 slowpokes breathing stunk-up bomb-proof air, punctuated by General Lunarista's slow and steady iron rain on our heads, the Prince President began ticking and tick-tocking that Babbage calculating machine head of his, and doing his metal moral duty, he speechified and stumped us with an oratory of his own mechanical composition. It was a retort by way of reason to Lunarista's irrational appeal to our Christian faith and to our supposed moral substance, supposing it rational, I mean, which he supposed would work on our St. Paddy's like a magnet might stick to those church bells he rang and rang before he banged and banged his cannonade. Tick. There are reasons why we are on the moon. As follows. Tick. PPFS first explained the Monroe Doctrine. The Polk corollary to the Monroe Doctrine. That was more or less familiar sounding, and we all nodded our heads at its good sense. Then he drew a picture of the worlds, old and new. And let us take a gander at it. It put our purpose into a grand context. The Monroe Doctrine of 1823. 1. The new worlds are closed to colonization by the old worlds. 2. The new worlds are for democracy, the old worlds for monarchy. 3. All old world attempts to expand their despotisms into any new world shall be considered a hostile act against the United States of Earth. 4. The Earth will not meddle with any old world colonies that already exist among the new worlds. The 1845 Polk Corollary to the Monroe Doctrine. 5. The Earth alone has the right to decide its own destiny and that of the other new worlds too. 6. All old world protests against the lawful aggrandizement and annexation of new spheres into the earth, such as in the case of the Republic of Texas, shall not be considered. 7. The earth will do whatever it must to ensure that no new old world colony or sphere of dependency shall ever again come to exist among the new worlds. He explained that the astronomers called the system of spheres an unfriendly word, terra-helio-duo-epicentric, which only meant the friendly news that the awful deity had deigned an earth-sun, two-centered system. Tick! The fact that the sun revolves around the earth proves without question that Providence favors the sphere of the United States of Earth. And here we interrupted him with riotous, cheerful applause, whistles, and hooray for Jacksons. Tick! Would Providence have founded this government on another sphere, or cease rolling the sun around our earth? Then would the righteousness of our great destiny be questionable. Tick! Any questions? Yes, sir, I called, raising my hand. I hear tell that them sphere paths are getting a bit wobbly. If true, does that have any effect on the campaign to secure the lunar P of T, and even the whole scene of freedom fighting, as seen by the liberty-loving eyes of this here army of observation? Tick. Tick. As a matter of fact, and then he gave a most strange and unfortunate reply. Thank you for listening. I'm not sure if you can hear the sounds of construction from nearby. Sorry about that. So the metal man gave a summary of the Monroe Doctrine. Most of you have probably heard of it. The Wikipedia says in 1836, this is about 10 years after the Monroe Doctrine first declared, 1836, the United States government objected to Britain's alliance with the newly created Republic of Texas on the principle of the Monroe Doctrine. In December 1845, the U.S. President James Polk announced to Congress that the principle of the Monroe Doctrine should be strictly enforced and that the United States should aggressively expand into the West, often termed as Manifest Destiny. Also, the Monroe Doctrine pits policy of New World versus Old World. You can perhaps see how this fits pretty easily into a cosmology where Mexico is the moon. Reading from Wikipedia again, Tycho Brahe, Geo-Heliocentric Astronomy. You may recall from earlier in the podcast that Tycho Brahe provided the cosmology for this story. Quoting now from Wikipedia, Tycho was not a Copernican, but proposed a geo-heliocentric system in which the sun and moon orbited the earth, while the other planets orbited the sun. His system provided a safe position for astronomers who were dissatisfied with older models, but were reluctant to accept the Earth's motion. It gained a considerable following after 1616 when Rome decided officially that the heliocentric model was contrary to both philosophy and scripture and could be discussed only as a computational convenience that had no connection to fact. Kepler tried but was unable to persuade Tycho to accept the heliocentric model of the solar system. Tycho advocated for a system with an unmoving Earth for reasons of physics, astronomical observations of stars, and religion. Wikipedia goes on to say, religion played a role in Tycho's geocentrism. He cited the authority of scripture in portraying the Earth as being at rest. Tycho advocated an alternative to the Ptolemaic geocentric system, a geo-heliocentric system, now known as the Tychonic system, which he developed in the 1570s. In such a system, the sun, moon, and stars circle a central Earth, while the five planets orbit the sun. The essential difference between the heavens and the Earth remained. So, perhaps you can see how the Monroe Doctrine, separating national powers in terms of Old World and New World, and what I see as the incredible contradictions of manifest destiny, promoting both aggressive democracy and a little problem of slavery, is a convenient analog using the Tycho Brahe system. The ideology of manifest destiny and the cosmology of the Tycho Brahe system seem to me to represent similar kinds of zeitgeist, spirits of their age, and the problems of their age. Friendly reminder, you can pick up Manifest Destiny on Kindle for 99¢. Manifest Destiny by Peter Gelman.